the electric eels of Parramatta.
Mr. Perpetual Motion and Mr. Nice Guy, Michael Cronin, are held aloft. The siren has sounded and Parramatta has taken out their third premiership in a row. The Eels of Parramatta still rule supreme over the rugby league scene here in Sydney.
Well, it is a massive welcome and thank you for joining us on this very special Fuck Melbourne edition of the Parramatta's podcast. I am Barry with my co-host, Bernie. How are you, my friend?
Fuck Melbourne. I've been in quite a good mood this week for some reason. I don't know why, mate. It's been quite an enjoyable week so far. Spirits are high, so I don't know what's made that little buzz in the brain go off.
So I have just gotten over, I cut myself when I was away in the army and I had a couple of stitches and it didn't close. So I've been out of exercising for a bit and I just went back to training for Warriors today and I walk into my coach because I have a Parramatta towel and my coach goes, oh, we won't talk about the footy. And I was like, oh, I didn't know you were a Melbourne Storm fan. There you go. So we are, of course, very excited about the victory on the weekend over the Melbourne Storm. It was a nail biter. That's the only way I can describe that match. It was back and forth and things weren't looking good early and we sort of clawed our way back. But yeah, it was an incredible win to beat Melbourne in Melbourne.
Yeah, we opened the door for them a couple of times and I thought we were gone, in all honesty. I thought, geez, I've seen this before so many times. Like we just fight, and then just put it on a silver platter and go, there you go, there's the game. You know, and I thought we had done that a couple of times. But the boys held it together. I was very proud of them.
So two disallowed tries early, that did help us. But yeah, we missed 11 tackles in the first 13 minutes. And we're just letting teams get away with not only missed tackles, but with offloads. They were just offloading left and right in the tackles.
I'll tell you, the problem with that is Melbourne are notorious for dropping the ball on purpose and getting a penalty for it. So it's one of those ones you don't want to wrap them up too much because if you have your hand anywhere near the ball, they're masters of dropping the ball and just looking up at the referee. Oh, it's stripped, you know. And the captain's challenge has brought an end to that a little bit. It's still, I'm not saying that's why we're tackling bad. There's something else going on there, but it does seem to be that with Melbourne, if you get three guys on them and wrap them up, they get butterfingers.
Yeah, as you say, though, it's not a Melbourne-centric issue. It's an issue that's presented itself in the previous two games as well. So I don't think that Melbourne don't have a problem wrapping us up. So I think shying away from it, we need to, you know, rely on the captain's challenge more and have faith in it because it's not helping us to have them offload and then make another 10 metres at all.
No, I think with the first two games of the year, I think what was happening is we were just outright missing tackles. But it did very much seem like we weren't wrapping up the tackler in this game. So I understand why you say that, but Melbourne always find a way to ruin the game. And Penrith are starting to do it as well. Just quickly, with last year's game against Penrith, when their trainer came on and caused the game to come to a halt because someone had a sore toe, there's been a lot of games this weekend even where players have been unconscious in the line. And the trainer's there trying to call a stop to the game. But the referee's like, nah, we're not stopping the game. Because last year, Penrith made us look like idiots by stopping the game with a sore toe. So because of them cheating, the Panthers, they're actually putting guys' well-beings at risk. So fuck Melbourne and fuck Panthers too. So
Let's stay on topic. And the topic is fuck Melbourne. Now, we had penalties. We dropped the ball. With those two disallowed tries, that could have been 18-0 to Melbourne in the first 15 minutes. But obviously two got disallowed. Dylan made a break. Gutho scored. So, you know, we were level at 6-6. And it was interesting to see Moses' quad taped up as heavily as it was. Do you think that was from the targeting the week before, or is this perhaps part of the strategy behind having Jake Arthur there because he's been secretly carrying an injury and Arthur's been there as the backup just in case?
My guess would be that it was a wrap up your thigh so that we can point to the referees and go, look what you guys missed last week, and no one better go near his legs this week because they're all strapped up now because you guys messed up last week. So, you know, don't go anywhere near Moses's legs. I think his legs are fine. He's kicking the ball well. I've got no dramas with Moses at the moment. Yeah. It's still a head scratcher as to why Jake Arthur was on the bench. And it's a complete head scratcher as to why Wurimu Greg sat out the entire game. You've got a young prop, full of energy, trying to make a name for himself, raring to go. And once again, you've got other props who are exhausted. And you've got Ryan Pappenhausen and Jerome Hughes running at you, making you look foolish. I mean, it was almost criminal what happened to Sean Lane at the end of that game. Like, he was trying his best. You could see the very last minute he's charging down what would have been Melbourne's match-winning field goal. Mm. He managed. But if you look at him, he's running in slow motion. Like, he was exhausted. And I'm worried that BA's going to burn out our forwards. I'm worried he's going to burn out Junior. I'm worried he's going to burn out RCG. You got these young, fit guys ready to come in. And he's just, I think he's just worried about upsetting the flow of the team. And it's like, well, bring him on earlier then. Bring him on in the first 20 minutes. That doesn't upset the flow of the team. Then he's on. He's in the thick of it. You just can't. You can't keep playing these games with only 16 guys. It's insane.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It's not the first time we scratched our head about what's happening with the bench with Parramatta, but the boys did hold them on our line a number of times, which was excellent. So they held them out, and that sort of gave us a bit of a boost. I did see the Iceman did a bit of a late hit on Munster. And Munster sort of pointed at him as if to go, but he got away with it. So
I got to admit, I've got a soft spot for Munster. I used to hate him. Every time I wanted him to get maimed. He was one of those players. Yeah. I wanted him to get hurt, and I don't wish that upon any player. But whenever he got the ball, I wanted him to get hurt, and I was just like, now he's one of my favourites. He's just he's just such a goofball. Like you can't help but like him. I mean, he's so, and he's competitive as well. And he didn't stay down. There was a couple of times he did get hit high and he could have stayed down, and he didn't, to his credit. And the referee would have given them penalties. And that was one of them where he just pointed to him. He said, like, I'll catch up with you later. It's fine, you know. I don't need to stay down. So I've got to give Munster credit where it's due there. He got up and played the ball.
And Dylan Brown was having a bit of a blinder. And, of course, Wonga Blake scores down the sideline, so 12-6. And didn't he knock old Pappenhausen over when he scored that try?
It was like Sivo. It was like Sivo 2.0. He just absolutely flattened him. It wasn't quite as vicious as what Sivo did to Teddy. But, geez, it was up there. He just pushed him out of the way. He was not going to be denied. And he had a brilliant game right up until he got the butterfingers at the end of the game. And he knocked on two bombs. And I think he dropped the third, but he got away with it. It went backwards, but I like him at winger. I do like him at winger. Mm. He just needs to, I think he shows all the skills, but when he dropped that ball, and that was a good bomb. Let's give credit where it's due once again. It was a swirling bomb. It was hard to take, and then he lost confidence in it. So then they started to target him, and he lost his confidence under the high ball. So it was like, you know, he just needs to spend some time this week with Moses doing some of his floating bombs and get his confidence back, and he'll be fine, I think.
And speaking of Butterfingers, Reed was obviously thinking about them prawn chips, and he dropped the ball, and from which Melbourne then scored. So back level, 12 all.
Bit worried about Reed. I think it's, once again, this is coming back to his shoulder reconstruction. He's had a lot of time out, so there was a lot of talk about him obviously signing with the Bulldogs, a lot of pressure for a young kid to deal with. And I just think it's starting to show a bit, but he'll come good at the end of the year. He'll be fine. But it was a big Butterfingers moment, and it did lead to their scores. Yeah, we'll give him the benefit of the doubt for now.
Mm. What was pivotal, though, was the fact that early on the momentum was with Melbourne, and then we clawed back, and then suddenly it was with us, you know, when Wonga scored. and our momentum was going really well and we were hunting down to their try line. And then suddenly with that drop ball from Reed, they've scored, and then the momentum shifted again. So we had a number of missed tackles. Munster scores 18-12. Then there was a knock on. Moses tried to do a bit of a cleary. However, Tom scored and it was 18 all. So it was, yeah, it was an incredible game of footy. Like the first half was just amazing.
Very much so. And it was a good try from Tom. And, you know, he's been under a lot of pressure to stay in the team as well. So he's got to make the most of his opportunities. But, geez, you can see momentum. You can really see it in a game.
Oh, it was plain as day. It was plain as day.
They were all over us at the start. And it's hard to... And that's one thing that BA has done well. He has said, you have to get into the fight. You have to get into the arm wrestle. And he has said, it will swing around. You will get your opportunities. You just have to ride it, you know, pardon the pun, you have to ride out the storm.
Mm.
But they did have momentum and they kept coming and coming, and the boys were hanging in there. They finally managed to get momentum back. As you said, Reed dropped the ball. Momentum completely swings around again. And it was around about this time I was starting to get the nervous sweats. I could see a big score getting put on us, and the boys fought and fought well.
And of course, then Blake, you know, he misses a couple of those bombs. We've got a few missed tackles. I mean, Pappenhausen had a pretty good game. He made a number of breaks. So I was very worried because with 5 minutes to go, and it just seemed that, okay, they're just going to get the ball and score here again. And I was really worried we were going to lose it in that last 5 minutes. And so to claw it to take it into that extra time, that was just insane. I really thought they were going to run away with it. But, yeah, I can't believe they didn't pass it out to Moses for that kick, though. That was quite interesting.
Yeah, BA referred to that. He didn't name names in the press conference, but he did refer to us having to ice a game when we have opportunities like that. And he said it was unprofessional for us not to ice the game. And Moses was there. We were so close. And it was Reed's decision, I believe, to spin it out wide. And it was a big, big error. And it could have cost us the game. And Mitch was right there. And 90% of the time, he's going to get that unless they manage to charge it down. He was so close to the... You know, that was the game. It was 5 minutes to go.
That's right.
Very, very lucky that that didn't cost us. But once again, with Reed, I think he's going to take a while to get back to where he was. I mean, even if you look at his Supercoach points, they're well, well down from where they were last year. And Supercoach points is generally a good indicator of where the players are at.
So to sort of just go on a tangent and to unpack that, have Parra made the right decision in letting him go then?
Well, it starts to make you... I would say that they haven't made the wrong decision if we had someone coming through. Now, I can't see anyone coming through. Josh Hodgson's gone for the season for Canberra. He's not going to play the whole year. So he's going to sit out a whole year. His knees are done. And he's the guy that we have bought. An old, you know, injury-prone player who is... He's done. He's a good player. He's a great player, Josh. But Reed is going to be better than Josh in the coming years. So if we had a youngster coming through, then I'd be more inclined to go, look, Reed's done his shoulder twice. Maybe he could do it again, and then he could be in the same situation of having to change his complete game style to make his career go a bit longer. But at the moment, we have made a mistake in letting him go. I just think he's just going to be a brilliant player. I really do think he's going to be Origin level hooker, and we've made a big mistake letting him go.
I do worry about those moments where he disappears, where he just vanishes in the game. So I don't know, perhaps that some credit should go to Parramatta here, because there are a couple of cracks in the armour there that maybe he wasn't worth all that extra money. If he's going to vanish in games and he's not up to standard at the moment coming back from that injury. But as you
got to remember, though, you got to remember, though, he's 22 years of age. He's a baby. He has so much to learn, and hookers generally don't get to that level until they're in their mid-20s. You know, they generally don't, they can't read the game, you know, and it's just the more games he plays, and Mick Innes is teaching him at the moment, so he's got some new tricks that they've been teaching him. So I'm just wondering if they've given him a bit too much to concentrate on, maybe, or the opposite. They might have just said, look, we just want you to concentrate from running from the ruck. We just want you to concentrate from getting your kicks in or making your tackles. Like, they might have just said, simplify it and we'll pick it up from here once your shoulder's better. So I'm prepared to write him out at the moment because he's young. I do think he's going to become a great player. I mean, everyone talks up Harry Grant, but Harry Grant's the same. He's always out injured as well. So Harry Grant's got a bit more go forward than Reed, but that could be a confidence thing, because once Reed takes off, he's very, very good, and he's very fast off 20 metres. So.
The Parramatta's podcast, because fuck Melbourne.
Well, there were 5 minutes to go and my wife came in and she was dropping the F-bombs because she tipped the Storm. And as I imagine most people would have, I mean, if I was in a tipping contest, Storm in Melbourne, I probably would have tipped them.
I never, ever tip against the Eels. Never, ever. And I've never, ever won a tipping competition, but but I never, ever tip. I always think we're going to win, is stupidly. Like, you know, if I had to put money on it, then I, you know, would put money on the Storm for that one. So, that probably tells you in the back of my head, I do think that they were going to win. But that's 3 wins in a row against them, or is it 4?
I thought it was 4, but the commentators were saying, no, it's 3. However, we've got to talk about the big moment. Of course, Moses went for the kick, it bounced off the pole, and then a Storm player's touched it, and Ray Stone luckily was onside, and he picked up the ball and he scored. So a couple of things to unpack there. One, his redemption moment from obviously the week before with his cannonball that essentially, and everyone seems to say it didn't cost us the game. I completely disagree. I think it absolutely, it gave him the ball back roughly on our 40 metre line and they went and scored from it. So it's
100% it cost us the game. I mean, I don't like saying that and singling players out, but that was a stupid tackle. It was a stupid cannonball, and it gave them an extra set of 6 inside our half, and you know, they end up scoring off it. So 100% redemption moment. I don't think it was lucky that he was onside. I think it was very skillful for him. He was playing for it, and he was the only one running after the ball. I mean, now I start to wonder, maybe Ray Stone wouldn't have even got into the side if Bailey Simonson hadn't have come off injured. Like, you know, he was on there. He was a fresh player. The only one running after the ball was the fresh player. And he stepped to his left, and he's obviously never done it in his life before, because he absolutely planted his ankle into the dirt and has busted his knee, and he is gone for the season. So that was obviously a brilliant moment. But his other try, he's got 2 tries in the game. His other try, he went up for a bomb, which he never does. The ball bounced off arse of a salamander's face and came back, and we scored. It was just perfect. All of the tries were brilliant. Arse of Salamander was an absolute dickhole the whole game. Like, him hitting Maka Maka in the back of the head, firing him up. And then he was like cheering when Maka dropped the ball. And Karma is a bitch, and it came round and got him when he dropped the ball and Maka's standing right in front of his face, clapping his hands. And and that was just a brilliant moment in the game that was almost up there with the winning try. I just love that kind of stuff. So what a game. Yeah. It was a brilliant game. You've got to say there's so much room for improvement from both teams. Oh, you know, it was not
absolutely
a professional outing at all. Like, it was a dogfight, and we were lucky to get away with the win. But they didn't play well. We didn't play particularly well.
Yeah.
But we played a little bit better. So,
yeah,
happy to get away with it. Always against Melbourne.
Yeah.
Good signs, I think, if we can. See, the problem is, I think it was 2 years ago and this happened again, and our defence just went walkabouts. And Brad Arthur said, well, okay, for the next 6 weeks, we're going to do nothing but tackle practice. And that's what we did. And then we forgot how to score tries. And all of a sudden, we couldn't score any points. You know, so I'm really worried about how Brad's going to react to this, because you got a defensive coach in there, David Kidwell, who's supposed to be doing the job. But something's amiss. Our defence is all over the place, and you just look at the statistics, all the missed tackles.
Yeah.
Did you see how many missed tackles for the Melbourne game? I haven't seen it yet. I know we were 40 and then 30. We've been around that mark. So obviously if we're 11 after 15 minutes. It was going to be high. I'm curious to know how many, because we both said if we miss 40 tackles against Melbourne, we're not going to win. And I have a feeling that we might have missed 40 tackles. So.
Yeah. But as you say, they weren't as clinical as they normally are. I would draw a parallel with the previous week with Moses, Dillbags and Gutho's try, that when essentially Pappenhausen, Munster and Smith hooked up, and there was just that moment of magic on those three coming together. Very similar to us in that sense, that they were a little bit all over the shop, but you can see the magic there. And when the magic comes together, it's pretty much unstoppable.
Yeah, I totally agree. And we do have that in us. And I have to single out Dillbags. It was one of his best games ever. He always fires up against the Storm for some reason. Yep. He does have a bit of a vendetta against them. It actually makes me worry that he's trying to impress Bellamy because he's trying to get like a contract. Like, I start to worry that. Well, I don't know. Like, you know, because he's always said that he just, you know, he's playing for the money. He's been quite upfront about it. He wants the big contract.
Yeah.
I do think Parramatta will throw money at him, but I thought that about Reed. So I don't know now. So, but if he can average that performance out each week and bring something like that every week. There's points down that left side with him running down there. He looks dangerous, and he did seem to be playing more of a centre role. I am curious to know if they're trying to play him in a centre role, because he was definitely running down that left centre with Sean Lane. And when he attacked the line, he had a lot of line breaks. He would just go through. He's so hard to stop. Like Nick actually said to me, she said, "Why is he so hard to tackle? He's so small." And I'm like, some football players are like that. Some football players, like Tedesco, you know, I mean, he's not that big a guy, but geez, he's hard to stop. He just steps and he's like a jackrabbit all over the place. And I think Dillbags is the same. He's got that elusiveness and he always seems to break through the first tackle. If he can get to the second and get the offload, deadly.
No, I do agree. I thought he had a fantastic game, and there's no better time, perhaps the Panthers, but no better time to do it when you're up against Melbourne. So... But the reality is we need to be clinical. We need to be consistent. And, yeah, BA and Gutho spoke about it after the match. But, you know, we've got the horse. But we just need the right approach. And we need to be clinical.
I was thinking about something on the weekend because, you know, I like to come up with these conspiracy theories, as you know. So the last few years... Apart from the year we won the Wooden Spoon, the last few years we've got fast starts and we've been really clinical. And we've been, you know, first, second on the comp for like 6 weeks, 7 weeks. And then we just fall into a big bloody hole. This year it's almost like I'm prepared to say, BA might just say to him, just go out and throw it around and let's just see what happens. It just seems to me he's trying to take a different approach. It's the old... saying if you keep doing the same thing and expect different results, you know, it's insanity. So he might be doing something different. He might be saying, look, we'll concentrate about tightening everything up at the end of the season. For the first half of the season, let's just get some miles into our legs, some tackles, some points. Let's just, you know, let's throw the ball around. And I don't know. He might not have said that at all, but because I know a lot of the teams look different from last year. Like Manly look shot to pieces.
Yeah.
Brisbane play well and then they play crap. And then it's like Newcastle play great and then crap. And West Tigers all over the place. The Roosters looked crap on the weekend. Souths look good, but the week before they look crap. So it just seems to be every team is finding themselves at the moment. So I think it's going to be a bit of a wild ride the first half of the season while the teams sort themselves out. I don't know how much COVID had to play with that, like with reserve grade not getting to play and now they are playing and a bit more of a structure. I don't know. Something's weird.
Yeah. They're all playing back at home though. So maybe that's a contributing factor too, in that obviously last year the game moved north. So they're sort of settling back in and that's why things are a little bit, you know, it'll take them a bit longer to find their feet. And I guess Brisbane still being at home, because it was at home the whole time, kind of negates that argument. But no, they're just crap. So I think that's
I don't know what's going on with the Broncos. I mean, they really just seem to be running hot and cold all over the place. I just hope that when we run into them that they're running cold. So it'll be a good training session for the boys.
If you've ever thought about starting your own podcast, then Buzzsprout is the platform for you. Buzzsprout is easy to use and you can upload a new episode within minutes. The platform has tons of features to help make your podcast sound great as well, like video tutorials, helpful Q&A sections, and a quick customer question page where you can get one-on-one support. Buzzsprout is hands down the easiest and best way to launch, promote, and track your podcast. Your show can be online and listed in all the major podcast directories, like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and more, within minutes of finishing your recording. Following the link in our show notes lets Buzzsprout know we sent you, and if you sign up for a paid plan, you get a $20 Amazon gift card. So check out Buzzsprout today in our show links. Join over 100,000 podcasters already using Buzzsprout to get their message out to the world.
Mate, I've got to touch on the trend that I was hoping was not a trend, but has been a trend for 4 weeks now, is that in the trial match we lost Hayes Dunster. Then the next week we lost Sean Russell. The next week we lost Jake Arthur. And now this week we lost Ray Stone. So 4 weeks in a row, we've lost a player.
Yes, we don't know how long we've lost Sean Russell for. He's done his ribs and they were punctured. So I don't know. I think they said 6 or 7 weeks, but surely, I mean, it's going to take a while before he can be impacted on those ribs. Jake Arthur, you know, he's probably only out for 4 or 5 weeks. But season-ending injury for Ray Stone is not good, because he, defensively alone, he just cut people in half and he was so solid. And Hayes Dunster, absolute tragedy, because this was his breakout year. This was the first time he was starting on the wing and he was going to get a full season on the wing and he didn't get to play a single game. So it's absolute tragedy. Yeah, so who's next, I suppose? I mean, do you start getting the bloody the lottery going?
Keep,
I mean,
we can't keep leading players. It's just insane. So,
we have a good bench, but I think we have just bought a winger, but no one of note. So we're running really thin on the wings. If we lose Moses or Gutho, we might as well turn the TV off. I mean, you know, because that we need those two guys. And if they get injured for the season, you know, we're not going to win without those guys. We need those two firing. Fingers crossed. Fingers crossed no more bad injuries. We did have a bad injury in the women's game, which I'm sure we'll talk about a bit later too, but we've lost Bovetti for the season. Well, it was the last game of the season for us anyway, but...
Yeah, but still.
Yeah, I mean, there does seem to be a lot of our players going out, so hopefully that's the end of it.
Yeah, and well, we can touch on it quickly, obviously, that we needed to lose by 15 points no more in the female match, and we would have been into the semis up against the Dragons, I think. So that didn't happen. I was sitting in the pub watching the Zoo fight, and in fact, at the moment Zoo got knocked down, a try got scored, so I was actually watching the footy and not the fight, and there was one knockdown in the fight and I missed it, so I had to wait for it on the replay. But yeah, the Broncos, it was just a try fest and they just put a clinic on us. And again, the girls were showing that they had the exact same capacity as our male team of tackling someone and letting them get an offload and then making another 10-15 metres. It was... I don't know.
It has to be said, though, that Casey Badger absolutely hates the Eels. I don't know why, but there were so many decisions, once again, that went against us in that. It was like blatant knock-ons, like there was in the men's game. Like Arsene Salamander dropped that ball clean, and it was an absolute knock-on. And Gutho was trying to stop the play. He's like, can we challenge? Can we challenge? He's like, no, you can't challenge. There's no stopping the play. He's like, we're stopped. He's like, oh, it's not an official stop. It's like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
But those penalties isn't what cost us the game in the girls' game. I mean,
I mean, the female team are obviously, they're just, they're the premier team, so.
What I am worried about, though, is I think their comp starts up again in another couple of months. Like, their 2022 So how long's Bo Vetti going to be injured for? If she's got a season-ending injury, if she's done her ACL on her knee, hopefully she's not going to be out for the entire next season, which starts in a couple of months. So hopefully she's all right, because we need her to win as well.
Yeah. Now, mate, I'm coming down this week. I'm going to CommBank Stadium to watch the Eels take on my father's team. My father's going to be there, the Dragons. Mm-hmm. And we had it all lined up. Jono, the sexiest man, 2008 from Emeralds, coming on down. However, something has happened in your household, and what is that?
Well, Nikki's got COVID.
Mm.
I don't have COVID. So I don't know the way it works. I don't know how it works. I mean, we spend all night together in the same bedroom. We're sharing an office in the house as well, spend all day in the office. And it's been 5 days now since she tested positive, and the most infectious disease in the world. I'm starting to believe that I'm immune to it. So I'm saying, I'm like, it can't get me, which of course means I'm bound to get it in the next couple of days, which means I won't be able to go to the Eels games with you. So, and we've got a poker game lined up on Saturday night. So I'm going to be none too happy if I miss out on the weekend's activities, because I think it's going to be a great night, Sunday night, against St. George. St. George are looking absolute shithouse at the moment.
I think they're 14th.
Yeah, but they just looked really bad on the weekend. I don't know what happened. They did start the season quite well, but they had a really bad game on the weekend. And I think that we're going to run over the top of them, and you're going to have a great night there sticking it into old Georgie boy. and a bit of into Ian as well, your brother, who's a Storm supporter. So, you know, you'll be able to bring that up every time you want to annoy the big fella.
Yep.
So it will be a good night, and I think COVID's going to stitch me up.
So hang on, by the sounds of it, if you don't test positive, you're coming.
I think I'm allowed to. I don't know the rules. Yeah.
I don't care if I get COVID. I genuinely don't care. And
yeah,
I said
but
to
your dad, if I give it to the old Georgie boy, you know, and I'm responsible for him, you know, passing away, you know, we've got a pretty good friendship, but, you know, killed your dad's kind of a bit of a friendship killer. So
just
for a game of football.
Yeah, look, I know what you're saying. Yeah. How close are you going to be to him? How many people in the stadium are going to actually have COVID? I'd imagine quite a few of them will.
Well, apparently you've got to sit next to the person for 4 hours to catch it. Now, I don't know what they're saying. Like I said, I've sat with it for a week and it hasn't got me.
So
Nikki's, her quarantine ends not tomorrow, but the next day. So I'll do a test then as well. And if I'm clean, then we're going to the Saints. If not, anyone listening to this in Paris Stadium, you better not sit too close to me, because it could be a red hot COVID case.
Well, I'm pretty pumped the chance that I just had assumed that you and Nick weren't going. So if you two come, that'd be awesome. And you can sit away from Dad. I'll just sit with my dad, and you can sit a couple of seats down. And I imagine that there'll be multiple people in that stadium who have COVID. And so
100%,
you know, I can tell Dad to wear a mask if. But no, and Dad will just be like, he gives a shit. So he won't care either. But
I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Like, it's so vague, and I've looked all over the place, and they say, because my sister caught it 10 days after her husband caught it. So she sat out his entire quarantine period, and the two sons in the middle caught it. And she went 10 days, and all of a sudden, bang, she got it. But she works in a hospital, so maybe she got it from there. I don't know, mate. It's going to stuff up the whole season, I think, for players and fans alike. It's just unfortunate. Mm. It looks like it's around the time you and Jono are coming down for our big weekend, but hopefully we get the power. Jono just said he doesn't care because he's staying at my place, and he's I don't care. So,
well, he's had it before.
Yeah.
He's had it, yeah. I was talking to him before, and I'm like, now, after the game, we're going out for beers, right? I was assuming you and Nick weren't coming. And he's like, 100%. I was like, excellent. So we got that sorted. But if you two are coming, then great. But yeah, honestly, you won't be in a close proximity to Dad. You know, you can just stand back and say hello. And yeah, mate, it'll be fine. It'll be fine. So very excited.
But I'm worried about your dad. On the Saturday night poker game, our mate Garfield is in the category also of danger. So I'll start by saying, fuck Melbourne, fuck Penrith, and fuck Garfield. I'm going to poker. I don't care about Garfield, but your old Georgie boy, I don't want him to get sick. So.
All right. Fair enough. As always, the Parramatta's Facebook page, make sure you send us an invite, and we would love to get up to 100 members. We're getting pretty close there, so that'll be good. And as always, you can catch me on the Dummy M podcast with my mate T-Dog, talking about all the dumb shit that happens in NRL throughout the week, and St. George leading the charge at the moment. George Burgess getting himself arrested, so that's a nice points getter for the Saints team. But, mate, I'm so super excited about coming, and I'm scared about COVID too, that on Friday I'm going to test positive and it'll just be like, oh, now I don't get to go, and, yeah, it'll be so frustrating. But fingers crossed I do. Yeah, because God, when's the last time I saw you in person, mate?
Oh, well, you came down. We saw the Canberra game for last year, I think, when we went to
We BJ's. Did too. Yeah. So that was amazing.
We didn't get to go. We were planning to go to the game, and we didn't quite make it to Canberra. We just made it to
the Irish pub in Parramatta.
Yeah. I think it was BJ's. Across the road from you. We made it to across the road from your hotel. It's as far as we got. So. Yeah. But it's still been a while.
Yeah.
Oh, no, we did actually have to... when we're talking about the members of our Facebook group, I did actually have to kick someone out of the Facebook group because they got on there and posted a jobs available ad. And I just thought, they're taking the piss, offering jobs to Eels supporters. I think that they're typecasting us as unemployed bums. So I had to kick them out of the group. No job offering on our Facebook group. Thank you very much.
Well, mate, always a pleasure to chat with you. And as we finish the show every week, mate, click go the Eels.
Click go the Eels, baby.
The Parramatta's podcast. Find us on Facebook.